Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow.
Today is the culminating message in our series, What the Bible Says About Leadership. 12 weeks long, that was a long series, but I hope that you have learned some important things about what God's Word says about leadership. Some of you have been in and out over the course of these last 3 months, so let's just do a brief recap of some of the things we learned. First, we looked at the Old Testament, and we learned from an account from the life of Moses that sometimes leaders try to run a one-man show, and we learned that is not part of God's plan for leadership. In fact, biblical leadership is the ability and willingness to delegate responsibility, and when Moses learned to do that, things got a whole lot better. We learned from the life of Samson that power often leads to pride. And when people are full of pride, they do not lead well, as Samson's life indicated. And so we learn that this is not part of God's plan for leadership in the church. In fact, biblical leadership is the ability and willingness to lead with humility. We learn from the high priest and his sons, Eli, Hophni, and Phinehas, that sometimes people in leadership think they're above the law. And we learn that is also not part God's plan. In fact, biblical leadership is the ability and the willingness to be accountable. We learn that the people of Israel got to the place where they rejected God as king and they wanted their own king. And we learn that is not part of God's plan for leadership. Biblical leadership is the ability and willingness to submit to Jesus as our king. And then we learn from the life of Joshua that we have a choice to make. And Joshua chose to challenge his people to choose this day whom you will serve. And we learn through Joshua's example that biblical leadership is the ability and the willingness to challenge people to serve the Lord and then to lead by example. Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Then we took a shift from the Old Testament and we looked into what the New Testament has to say about leadership, and we learned that the purpose of leadership in the church is to train and equip God's people to serve. And Paul says that is what builds up the church. We learned that there was a three-tier structure for leadership in the church that starts with Jesus. He's the King of Kings, He's the Lord of Lords, He's the head of the church, and He calls the shots. And His apostles, as they planted churches around the Mediterranean rim to stabilize the churches and to provide leadership, they appointed elders or shepherds who were to function in such a way that they were to lead and feed the church family, to train and equip them to serve, and to protect and correct. And then there was a third layer of leadership, the diakonos, or the ministry leaders. And these were people who led specific areas of service under the direction of the shepherds so that ministry could take place. Then we spent a little more time asking, who are the shepherds? And we learned that there are three ways to describe them: men with mature experience who are older and wiser, men who give oversight and are responsible for the church family, and I love this description, men who shepherd the church family. So all of those things are wrapped up there. We learn that the ministry of the shepherds is pastoral in nature. It's a shared responsibility, a plurality. It is male-led. It is men who are qualified to lead, and it has the heart of a servant. And then we learn that when we're looking for people to lead in these areas, these are the character qualities of the shepherds: a life that is above reproach, good leadership at home, the ability to teach and defend the faith, and a spirit-given motivation. And then we took a look at the role of the ministry leaders, and we talked about the diakonos serve in such a way that it meets a specific need. It's also a team-oriented ministry, Both men and women serve in these roles. It is also a qualified leadership. People are tested to be part of that. And again, the leadership style is that of a servant leader. We looked at the character of ministry leaders. They need to be well respected, good leadership at home, and committed to the faith. So that's a summary of all of the things that we've learned so far. And today's message is going to take a little bit of a different turn. Instead of talking about the leadership structure, we want today to talk about this. What are the responsibilities of us as a church family to Christian leaders? When I was putting this sermon series together and I thought back over the course of my life, I don't think I'd heard any teaching or instruction about this at all. And I thought, this is really important. If we're going to have people serve in leadership roles, then we ought to find out what our responsibilities are. So that's going to be the focus of our time together today. Now, as you know, normally I have a scripture listed in the bulletin, and I have a place for you to open, and we read scripture together and work from there. But today we're going to be hopscotching through several different passages. And so to make this easy, I'm just going to put them all on the screen for you. I know some of you like to take notes. You can write these down if you want, but let's begin with this. What are the responsibilities of the church family to those who are chosen to serve? The first thing is to appreciate them. Somebody said in Adult Bible Fellowship a few weeks ago when we were working in 1st and 2nd Timothy, and we were talking about leaders, and we talked about how come some people don't want to lead in the church. And somebody said, because it's often a thankless job. It doesn't have to be. One of the things that is a responsibility of ours is to appreciate them. Let me show you some scriptures that talk about this. The first one is from 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 15 to 18. Paul says this, "You know that Stephanas and his household were the first of the harvest of believers in Greece, and they are spending their lives in service to God's people. I urge you, dear brothers and sisters, to submit to them and others like them who serve with such devotion. I am very glad that Stephanas, Fortunas, and Achaeus have come here. They have been providing the help you weren't able to give me, and they've been a wonderful encouragement to me, as they have to you. You must show your appreciation to all who serve so well." In Philippians chapter 2, verses 25 to 30, Paul writes this, "Meanwhile, I thought I should send Epaphroditus back to you. He is a true brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, and he was your messenger to help me in my need. I am sending him because he has been longing to see you, and he was very distressed that you heard he was ill." And he certainly was ill. In fact, he almost died, but God had mercy on him and also on me, so that I would not have one sorrow after another. "So I am all the more anxious to send him back to you, for I know you will be glad to see him, and then I will not be worried about you. Welcome him with Christian love and with great joy, and give him the honor that people like him deserve. For he risked his life for the work of Christ, and he was at the point of death while doing for me what you couldn't do from far away." 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13 says, "Dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work, and live peacefully with one another." A second thing I think is important that we can see in some of the New Testament scriptures is that we should follow our leaders. In 1 Corinthians 16:16, we read this just a few moments ago, "I urge you, dear brothers and sisters, to submit to them and others like them who serve with such devotion." In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7, it says, "Remember your leaders who taught you the word of God. Think of all the good that has come from their lives and follow the example of their faith." So once again, very important. Listen and follow. In Hebrews 13, same chapter down to verse 17, it says, obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. Give them reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow. That would certainly not be for your benefit. I think another important responsibility, Scripture says, is to support them, to support your leaders. Hebrews 13:18, the very next verse from what we read a moment ago, pray for us, for our conscience is clear, and we want to live honorably in everything that we do. Some of you may remember the great spiritual leader, Charles Spurgeon. There was once a question that was put to him, and in this question was, I've long wished to see you, Mr. Spurgeon, and to put one or two simple questions to you. In our country, there are so many opinions to the secret of your great influence. Would you be good enough to give me your own point of view? So this is the great awakening that came to the Americas. Somebody from England's writing to Spurgeon. What's the secret of your influence? And look at this. After a moment's pause, Spurgeon replied, my people, pray for me. Isn't that awesome? In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 17 and 18, we're also told this. Elders who do their work well should be respected and paid well, especially those who work hard at both preaching and teaching. And so this is where we have the principle from the New Testament scriptures that there were some elders and teachers who were paid for their service. Another important responsibility of the church family to Christian leaders is to protect them. This also comes from 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 19 to 20. Do not listen to an accusation against an elder unless it's confirmed by two or three witnesses. Now, because of the characteristics that we were taught in Scripture to look for when we're putting leaders in place, it's a guideline to help us make sure that the people we put in there are solid. But sometimes hearts turn. The instruction here is don't listen to an accusation against an elder unless it's verified, confirmed by two or three witnesses. And then those who sin should be reprimanded in front of the whole church, and this will serve as a strong warning to others. So these are the basic responsibilities that we as a church family have to Christian leaders. Let me put them all up again. To appreciate them, to follow them, to support them, and to protect them. So while we've spent a lot of time talking about the leadership patterns, principles, and structures, there's also this very important aspect of how we respond to Christian leaders in a biblical way. And I can certainly report that I have experienced all of these things from you. I so much appreciate your prayers, sometimes your cards of encouragement and your love. So I think God is building the kind of relationships that are pleasing to Him within our church family. And I just want to say, as the leader that's in front of you each week to preach and teach, how much I appreciate that you're already doing these things. This is just the encouragement to continue, and this is pleasing to God. So my challenge for you today, kind of like the other things that we've been talking about, is just to accept God's plan, the one that's revealed in His Word for the responsibilities of the church family to Christian leaders. Remember, it's His church. He calls the shots. This is what He says. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we thank you so much for these messages that have helped us understand what the Bible says about leadership. Many of us have been in a variety of churches that have done things in very different ways, but this is important for us to look at the scriptures to make sure that the way we are structuring and carrying out leadership in the church, selecting leaders and responding to them, is in accordance with your word. We recognize you, Jesus, as our great shepherd. We recognize you as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the head of the church. And we recognize this is your church, not ours. But we thank you for the instructions you've left us in your word, for how we should recognize leaders and structure our leadership and even respond to them so that we can be the church that you want us to be. Father, I pray that as our church family grows, that you will raise up other leaders to come and to serve, leaders who can serve as elder shepherds, leaders who can serve as diakonos, ministry leaders, so that we can get the work done that you want us to do here at the Hamersville Church of Christ. Lord Jesus, we love you. We are committed to follow you, to serve you, and to love you. We are committed to follow as you lead on as our good and great shepherd. We pray these things in your holy name. Amen. Would you stand and let's sing our sermon response?
Well, I've been turned round, but I've never been lost. Seen the water get troubled, but we walked across. When my knees were shaking, you held my hand.